Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Leighton Brandon. I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. And today, I'll be talking about cycles of content. That is, ways to extend how your content can progress over the course of time without needing to produce brand new content, the idea of crafting sequels, chunking content, as well as remediating content across various mediums and modes. All right? So, with that said, once again, welcome back to Leighton Branding, everybody. So, the first strategy and idea that I'm going to address today is about chunking content. That is, about breaking longer content up into various components, pieces, and perhaps series. So, instead of writing a particularly long text or a particularly long video, you can break that longer item up into pieces. Now, what's important here is not just breaking up long chunks of content into smaller ones, but actually thinking about the way that you need to start out with chunks first. And so instead of writing a 1,500 word piece or 10 minute video or 20 minute podcast and then splitting it up into chunks, actually start out trying to chunk. And what this does is allows you to create a series, a cycle, and going back to my earlier episodes in this podcast, an expectation that more pieces will arrive in the future. Other advantage that it has in planning chunks out to begin with is that you end up being able to reference those pieces as well as talking about pieces in previous content by addressing sort of the future. So this is important because it's the idea that the organization of the chunks comes before the actual production of the chunks. And this gets into a direct sort of theoretical framework for how you produce content on the internet. Instead of trying to break stuff up, you actually start with the pieces first, and that way you allow different components, whether it be text, audio, video, you allow all of those pieces to speak to one another. What it creates is a web of content rather than a linear framework for all of your content. Furthermore, a side benefit or an added benefit of chunking content before you actually produce it is that it allows you to curate the past to a certain extent. In other words, it allows you to understand that pieces will fall backwards in sort of the recency bias of internet contexts, and it will allow you to know that in the act of production, that will quickly fade and age. Sometimes things age poorly, obviously, but it will allow you to know that as you are producing it, you might have to update it, and you will, of course, know that future components, future sequels, future series of content will exist, and so that each component, whether it's text, audio, or video, is constantly part of your larger ecosystem of your website or of your company or whatever it is you happen to be working on. The second strategy for creating cycles of content is to remediate all of your content. Remediation is a sort of a buzzword in new media theory, and a lot of academics use it. It comes from Boulter and Grusin's 2000 book called Remediation, and they talk about how current forms of media reiterate, recycle, and evolve prior forms of media. So different forms of painting evolve into new forms of painting. TV riffs off of radio shows, and radio shows riffs off of plays, and you know each kind of new media takes older parts of media, mutates it, and so we never really get a brand new medium. We simply take older parts and older types of media, stitch them together, and remix them, while also, you know, fusing them with other different parts of other types of media, and that's how we get sort of new media and new mediums. Now, why is this important? Because it's important to think about how you could take your text and remediate it into a video, how you could take your video and remediate into a podcast, how you could remediate your podcast into a video, right? Changing the medium is one strategy for remediation. Another one is thinking about how you could take a text-based article and add images to it, and so you could add more visuals, But even more so, a third way to remediate is to think about all the various technologies that users are employing to access your content and pay attention to, not just, you know, whether it's an Android or iPhone, for instance, as a accessing technology, but also about what kind of interface they're using. Are they using a haptic interface, touch interface? Are they using a keyboard, a QWERTY keyboard? Are they using perhaps VR in the next 5 to 10 years? So there's a lot of different ways that remediation can help you to think about ways to recycle and create new cycles of content. The fourth strategy for creating a cycle of content is to rewrite strategically content for the venues where you share it. So let me back up here and say that most people, when they create a piece of content, they share it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. They just use social media as an advertising arm. And that's I think that's a good approach. But a more thoughtful approach would be to figure out who is following you on each of your accounts, who your readership is, because the readership on Facebook is going to skew older than the readership on Twitter, and the people who are clicking through on Twitter is going to change dramatically from people who are going to follow on Snapchat, right? Each of these has different demographics. They tend to skew younger. So Facebook is the oldest. Twitter is sort of the 30-somethings, and then the 20s, and the people who are in their teens are on Snapchat. So what you need to do is you need not only to create one piece of content for each social media platform, but actually create a specific tailored type of content for each platform. Now, this sounds like you're going to be creating like four brand new pieces of content for each platform. Let's say Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Not necessarily true. You're not creating whole new pieces of content. What you are doing is you are adjusting your language. You are adjusting the types of images you use. You will adjust the types of advertising that you would put on your website if you have advertising. You change the slang you use. On Twitter, you're going to use more emojis. On Instagram, you're going to be more visually oriented. On Snapchat, you're going to write things that are shorter. On Facebook, you might post a link to content that is longer. But again, all of these things will change. And so what you want to do is you might, if you're, let's say, a news organization or just someone running your own website out of your basement, you create four pieces of content for each platform, for four platforms. Instead of producing one piece of content for all platforms, you produce a tailored piece of content to each platform depending on who your audience is. And finally, the fifth piece of advice I'm going to offer for cycles of content is that you need to pay attention to the response of your audience, whether it's through comment functions, through emails you receive, through Twitter messages, whatever it happens to be. Pay attention to who your audience is, and without pandering to them, respond to them. So you don't have to give in to what your audience says it wants, most of the time, because audiences don't necessarily know what they want. They'll say they do, but once they receive it, they aren't necessarily happy about receiving it. Instead, you want to give them some sort of acknowledgement that you are, in fact, paying attention to them, whether it's reading them, listening to them, watching them. And so this is sort of part of customer service of content creators. You have to let people know that there's someone on the other side of the screen. And one of the best ways to do this is to take your comments, take your emails, and to turn your responses to those comments and those emails and all that audience response, turn it into future content. And you can even say, you are turning it into a Q&A, a call and response, as a sequel to whatever particular kind of content you have. And so what this does is it makes for each piece of content to have a sequel to it automatically, because you're doing essentially what is a Q&A with the response afterwards. And so that's one way to produce more content, to craft cycles of content that allow you to boost your content production without having to use a lot of your creative juices. but it also simultaneously allows you to really think carefully about your audience and to pay attention to them, and then of course not pander to them. All right? So, that's the end of this episode, Cycles of Content. Once again, I'm your host, John Robert Gallagher. If you'd like to get into contact with me, my email is johnrgallagher@gmail.com. My Twitter handle is @mirsophistry. Once again, thanks for listening.